Welcome to Keldabe Talk Radio, the online radio show funded and run by members of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. We're a charity organization spanning the entire globe, attending charity events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll discuss your favorite topics in Star Wars, from the Sith to the Jedi, from the Empire to the Republic. We'll cover it all and everything in between. If you enjoy our show, visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com. And now, from our studios across the world, your hosts.
And welcome back to another episode of Keldabe Talk Radio. I am Biohazard, your host. And with me today, we have Mr. Lucas McCoy from our Nast clan down in Georgia.
Evening.
And we also have Mr. Frost Kamon from our Talon clan in North Carolina.
Hello, everybody.
Marie LaDenlaw from our Wampa clan in Maine, USA.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Ms. Cora Salusar, our Washington clan out in the West Coast.
Hey, everybody.
And we have Mr. Thaxos from Manitoba.
How's it going?
We have a bunch of good topics we're going to talk about. We're going to be talking about helmet electronics, things like fans, lights, microphones, things like that you'll be using inside your helmet to add a little bit of flair to it, make your voice easier to hear in the large crowds that we are often walking around in. And we got some more Mercs news and some convention tips near the end that McCoy wants to kind of throw out there. But first up on the docket, just announced that LucasArts has licensed the Unreal Engine 3, which is kind of interesting because the last time they used the Unreal Engine, they made Republic Commando.
For those of you who aren't familiar, pretty much every game that's famous other than Halo for console has been programmed in the Unreal 3 engine. That's all the Rainbow Six games, Unreal Tournament 3, believe it or not, all the Gears of War games, and Killing Floor for PC. Just everything nowadays is programmed in the Unreal 3 engine. It's known in the industry for being very reliable, very useful, and it doesn't. It has low performance cost while still giving a decent amount of visual detail. It's considered sort of the workhorse of the industry right now.
Yeah, and it's pretty much only used for like first-person shooter type games, right?
Predominantly. They used it in Dragon Age as well and Mass Effect, but both of those are very action-adventure type games, and they all had very high level of detail. So it's shootery, but generally it's used for either third-person applications or first-person shooter. Mm-hmm. But that's it. It's almost
so what are some possible franchises that they may be trying to pull out of this? I mean, obviously there's, you know, they could be doing a Republic Commando 2, but there's games which might be brought back too, right?
They could be doing Repcom with it. Battlefront 3 is a possibility, but that got canned a while ago. At least the original one they were using, which was on the Battlefront engine. So they could be porting it over to Unreal, just because they may have been having engine trouble, which would explain why it has not come out in 2 years since it was supposed to come out. Mm-hmm. But it's far more likely that they're just going to do a new project, and it's probably either going to be Clone Wars related some other kind of shooter.
I wonder if they're going to bring back the Dark Forces. I mean, like the original Dark Forces, Dark Forces and Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight, where it was more of a shooter kind of based game type. When you got into like Outcast and even into, you know, Jedi Academy, it was all lightsaber stuff after that point. But the first two games were definitely shooter games. They were some of the best shooter games at the time. I wonder if they'll bring those back at all.
It's entirely possible that they could do that, but really, as far as I can tell, the fan base has been clamoring for more games like Repcom, where it's squad-based action, and seeing as squad-based is something that Unreal does very, very well, because it actually has really good AI pathing and good squad management mechanics, unlike Crytek and all these other engines that don't do squads so well. Unreal does squads all the time, as is evidenced by the fact that pretty much every game I listed has a squad-based mechanic in it. And so if they were to do a squad-based something, I don't know, say Repcom, it would be very connotative to that game engine.
Yeah. And obviously it's just speculation at this point, because all we know is that they have licensed the engine, which they may not even end up using for all we know. It might just be a you know, buying it up so that they can get it at a cheap price or whatever for now. So,
yeah,
we'll have to see.
Oh, well, hopefully something's in the works.
It may also actually just be a licensing thing to do with Star Wars Tour, because BioWare has licensing for the Unreal 3 engine, and they're programming Star Wars Tour on it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because you can actually do huge-scale combat with it, which is something that Star Wars Tour would need to have. But mm-hmm. most of the screens of Star Wars Tour look a lot like Mass Effect 2, which suggests mm-hmm. that they probably are using the Unreal Engine for that as well. So it may just be them covering their rears for legal reasons with... Mm-hmm. Epic.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if it seems kind of like late in the game to be licensing your core game software.
Well, technically the developer is BioWare, but the actual owners of the game and the property are
LucasArts.
Yeah, LucasArts. And so LucasArts, if they're going to modify the game at all once they've gotten it from BioWare, which I would assume they're gonna, because BioWare isn't running the game for them. BioWare's just making it for them, and then they're like, okay, peace, I'm out. And
right. So they would probably need to own the software in order to establish it on their own servers.
Yes. Well, mm-hmm. I don't know who's running the servers. That's generally done by a third party, but they don't usually have to have rights to it. It's just developers and engineers who need to have access to the actual development tools, and you can only get those by buying the license. So it could be a Star Wars Tour-related thing. If it is a Star Wars Tour related thing, that doesn't mean they aren't doing Republic Commando 2, because if they've got the software, why wouldn't they do it?
Yeah.
It reduces the opportunity cost.
Another cash cow. Go for it, LucasArts. We want you to do RepCom 2.
Can't explain that.
Awesome. I don't know how Mareel would feel about that, though. He was kind of...
I wanted to do it, but yeah, at the same time, like, just changing stuff that I already like so much, you know?
Yeah.
They've changed
stuff. As long as they don't mess it up,
yeah. Like, just changing how the characters are.
Right.
If they use the same characters, I would actually like a completely new group. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I mean, if they did that, I think it'd be interesting to continue the story. I mean, because the books kind of touch more on, you know, Omega.
Yeah, I'd like a completely third, not Omega or Delta, which would be really neat.
Separate squad, yeah.
Well, it would be. Also,
well, they could continue Delta's story, too.
What would be cool is if they just made, like, a Clone Warriors game, where you're literally just playing as a squad of six clone troopers.
That would be neat, too.
Kind of like Brothers in Arms.
Anything first-person shooter at this point for Star Wars would be pretty neat.
Yeah.
all their first-person shooters have been generally pretty good. It's the RTSs and the, MMOs that have sucked so far.
Well,
I don't know. I liked Empire at War.
Empire War was all right.
Empire at War was homeworld.
I liked Rebellion, but it wasn't very popular.
What was that one where you used to have like the little like it was almost like a Pokemon in a way.
What?
Pokemon?
I think it was Battlegrounds. Or
GBG, Galactic Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
You mean Age of Empires clone? Because that's what it was. It was an Age of Empires 2 clone, except they replaced all the units with Star Wars units. And they tried to add in air units, and it didn't work at all.
I remember I played like the demo, and you had to run around as Yoda for some reason.
Oh god!
But he looked like a little. It was like one of those little like Pokemon, like squished down little sprites.
That's from StarCraft got real famous in 1997, and GBG they decided to make it in 2001. I think is when the game came out. And they were like, yeah, let's be 4 years late to the game and try and make some money off this because it says Star Wars on the box. Invariably, they did. I mean, I bought it. I bought the expansion to it because I'm an idiot. it was crappy sprite sheet animation. It was like 5 years out of date when it came out. And they still made tons of money off of it.
Here, I'm really dating myself with this one, but did you guys ever play Rebel Assault or Rebel Assault 2?
Of course.
Yeah.
I love that game.
Well, those were Golden Age games back when you were literally playing Myst with a blaster.
Yeah.
So.
Well, see, but I played the first Rebel Assault on a, like, Windows 93 computer,
3.1, you mean?
3.1.
Windows 93.
Well, it was Windows 95, and it was Windows 3.1. So yeah, my Rebel Assault was on Windows 3.1.
Yeah. And that was that. For those of you who don't know what that is, they used it was full motion gaming pretty much, and they would use like pictures of real people in various poses to make the different movements.
But you have to remember, this was before high definition JPEG compression, so all screens were in 600 by 400 pixels or 640 by 400 pixels,
which meant that
if you took probably the bottom left-hand eighth of your screen, that's the total number of pixels that was on the screen at the time, which means that you were looking at someone's face vaguely. Like the only way you can get an approximation of how this stuff looks is to get a webcam and then run that webcam through another webcam, and that's the degree of graininess you had in those sorts of games. But back in the day, it was like, oh my god, it's like real life.
There's actually a pretty good run-through of it on YouTube if you want to look it up. It's Rebel Assault 2, and they played through the whole game, and you can see it, but it's all like on rails. I mean, it's very...
A couple of levels are really cool. Like and of course, it very much mimics the movies. Like, you fly a YT-1300 through an asteroid, but so it's like you're flying the Millennium Falcon, and that was really cool when you're a little kid. But yeah, it's all on rails. It reminds me of Tor in space, and that's how boring it looks.
Somebody was not a Star Fox kid.
No.
Oh, I love Star Fox.
Do a barrel
switch to all-terrain mode.
You're supposed to get through it.
Well, the difference between Star Fox and Rebel Assault, with Star Fox you can move left and right and fly through stuff.
Yeah.
But with Rebel Assault, you just aimed, and the ship flew itself.
Yeah,
you had to like lean to the left or right. So like,
if you guys have ever been to MGM Studios, where they've got like the little Men in Black ride that they've got there, where they literally give you like a super soaker that's got a laser, like it's just got an infrared LED in it. They give you a super soaker, and then they put you on a ride, but it's not even like an immersive ride or anything. It's literally a ride with four screens on any given direction. You just kind of shoot at the monsters that are on the thing. 1997, this is the coolest thing ever! 2011, why did I pay money?
It's amazing how fun that was back then. And then we play games today, like the modern Halos and Battlefield and everything, and you just you lose appreciation for how far gaming has really come in the last decade.
You play Dime a Dozen FPS, and then you go back and you try and play Dark Forces. I spent 4 hours installing Dark Forces because I had to create a virtual machine because you can't play it on anything past Windows XP.
Yeah.
And I beat the game in 32 minutes. I timed myself. I could remember the layouts for all the levels.
That's even with the sewer levels and the
hospital. That was with the sewer level.
That thing was complicated back then.
Dianogas.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Another Lucasfilm news. Darth Revan has his own book coming out, and it's going to feature major characters such as Candorous and T3-M4, the Exile and Bastila. They're all going to be in it, so that should be interesting.
Now, you've mentioned the Exile, T3, Candorous, and Revan. Have they announced whether or not this has anything to do with the mystery opening of KOTOR 2? Because in KOTOR 2, you just kind of like woke up on the broken Ebonhawk with a busted T3 being like, I'm busted, over in a corner.
Did he have the Cleveland voice there?
No, the thing is, you're like falling through hyperspace or something, and then you go around as T3 fixing stuff for the tutorial, and then T3 gets hit by a bolt of lightning, and... gets fragged and is all busted over in a corner, and you have to fix him later on. But anyways.
No, they haven't said much about what it is or what it's going to be, but I would suspect that they're trying to fill in some of the gaps so that you can get into Tor easier.
So they're trying to make up for KOTOR 2, basically?
Yeah, I would guess.
KOTOR 2 was always... KOTOR 2 was always designed with a sequel in mind, a direct sequel, KOTOR 3. Which got canned because KOTOR 2 did so poorly because Obsidian basically had no idea what they were doing.
Well, they only finished half the game.
Exactly.
For anybody that hasn't played KOTOR 2, the last like level is just text that you read because they didn't have time to finish it.
Yep.
I only got off the moon of Dixun or whatever when once Mandalore said, "All right, I'm coming with you." I was like, "Okay, I'm done." That's all I wanted to see.
So do we have an author
I didn't
name for the Darth
the
Revan book?
In either game.
Yes, the author of the Darth Revan book is Karpyshyn.
Oh, okay.
Wait. How do you spell his name?
That's a good question.
With letters, you generally start on the left side.
It's Drew Karpyshyn.
What's your Hebrew? Then you start from the right.
You're Drew Karpyshyn. It's Karpyshyn.
Yeah, he actually writes 40K novels, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are they good?
I thought I recognized the name. I just never read it that way. That is probably how you pronounce it, though.
Yeah. He worked on scenario and dialogue for Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, this book is supposed to be quote-unquote Revan's story, but we're supposed to be hearing more about the book at San Diego Comic-Con in July, so we'll have more info for you then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As well as, you know, in Tor, I imagine. It's probably just going to have tie-ins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I suspect that's why they're pushing that out, is to kind of fill in some of the gaps to get you into the game. Because it's been a couple hundred years or something, so.
It's been 600 years, I think, which makes it like 1,000 years from the Great Civil War.
It's 300 after KOTOR.
Okay, it's 300, so then it's 500 after the Great Civil War. Or the Jedi, not the Civil War, the Jedi whatever thing.
Chist?
No, the one with Exar Kun.
Well, the book's supposed to pick up right after the end of the first KOTOR and then go through and beyond KOTOR 2, so about 5 years of a span, I think.
That's cool.
So, yeah, it probably explained why T3 was all like, I'm broke.
Yeah, and it probably explained why Revan was like, hey, I'm going to the unexplored regions of space because these are clearly safe, and that's why they're unexplored.
But yeah, you're right, it's about 300 years earlier than the other Old Republic novels.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They have, however, and this is an interesting thing, they have in Tor announced that the current Sith Emperor of the Sith Empire from Tor, who is actually, it's like the legit Sith Empire, it's actually the ones who come from Korriban who are called the Sith and have red skin and stuff.
Nice.
And he has apparently been the emperor of that particular empire for over like 1,200 years.
Huh.
So it's the guy that turned Revan to the dark side.
That's what is presumed. In addition,
I wonder if Revan's going to actually show up in the game, because if he can live 1,200 years...
Yeah, that's another thing, is people are considering that Revan may actually show up in the game or maybe a Force ghost in the game or something like that, because...
it's Darth Revan. They want to make money. They're going to throw everything they can in that game.
Yeah, well...
Except for, you know, good gameplay.
Well, you know, they'll probably have a young Han Solo in there, too. Somewhere.
I don't hear any bitterness from Georgia, do I?
Uh-huh.
Maybe a little butthurtedness?
You know, it is important to mention that Lucasfilm and Lucasbooks specifically, Sue Rostoni was quoted sometime in January saying that they have stopped the super series of novels. They won't be doing any more Legacy of the Force-style novels or this most recent one, what's it called? Fate of the Jedi?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really?
They're not going to do those anymore where they have, like, you know, six authors working on one series together. They're going to do very, you know, three book story arcs with
by
like one author.
Oh, okay.
So
I don't know. I kind of liked.
Basically, they're switching over from the current model, which ends up with a lot of authors trying to step on each other's toes.
Yeah, like what's his name did to
Troy Denning and Karen Travis.
Right, and that's
I don't
one
care
of the
who aggressed
they
first.
Made. They were like the Mando squashing novel that was the final Legacy of the Force.
Yeah, so. And truthfully, that's just badness. Whereas what you just said means that they're going back to the Rogue Squadron model, which is where one author writes like four books in a row. Because that's what Rogue Squadron was. It was two authors who both wrote four books in a row.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Followed by one book at the very end written by the original author.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, I think Lucasfilm just finally got as tired of retcon as the fans are.
Yeah.
They were tired of keeping track of it. So.
Screw it!
I mean, it makes a lot more sense, too, because now individual authors can actually develop characters more fully without trying to scramble to cover up shit that other people have written in, you know?
It also means that they won't have nearly as many snafus as, like, the Solo family. Like, what's up with that? This is where Ben Skywalker came from. Like, they were all like, okay, so what are we going to do with the Solo family? How are we going to make the Yuuzhan Vong threat a real threat? We'll kill Chewie! Yes! All right. It's 4 years later. Now what do we do to wrap up the Yuuzhan Vong threat? Something drastic has to happen. We'll kill Anakin Skywalker, the little one. Solo. Anakin Solo Skywalker, whatever his name is. We'll kill him. Yeah, awesome. Aw, damn. We just killed the main character's family member. Now, how do we make it serious again? We'll make one Darth Vader! Oh,
he actually had
God.
A really
now we have to kill him at the end of the series, don't we? Damn. Oh, let's kill Mara Jade and, you know, destroy one of the best characters ever made.
They killed a bunch of Timothy Zahn's characters in that book. Yeah. They're like, Palayan, dead. Marjane, well, killer.
Yeah, well, then they also were like, oh, sorry, Zahn. Yeah, we're going to take one of your characters, not one of his characters, and make her ruler of the GA. Yeah. No, seriously, somebody, like, that's what I heard down the wire, is that in order to make Zahn less angry at them for offing all of his good characters... they were like, yeah, well, we're going to make Admiral Dalla the leader of the Galactic Alliance. Which is silly, because Timothy Zahn had nothing to do with Admiral Dalla.
Yeah, that was Kevin J. Anderson.
Yeah. So Anderson's like, yay! And Zahn's like, I will kill you all.
Kevin J. Anderson That's why he a friend request on Facebook, and I was like, yay!
But that's why Zahn doesn't write so much for Star Wars anymore.
He was a good author.
Well, I think they probably just finally saw the light, because, I mean, Zahn doesn't do much stuff anymore, and then they lost Karen Travis because they basically just retconned all of her stuff out.
Well, they didn't pay her. That's why she didn't work.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Yeah, after she quit, they refused to pay her, and she's like, guys.
No, they had stopped paying her beforehand. They released Clone Wars, or whatever that was, as a hardback, but they only paid her for a paperback, which is significantly different.
Value.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they kind of crapped on their writers, and now they realize they did wrong. So.
Maybe our source of income we should not punch in the face.
Yeah, well, they have no problem doing that to the fans.
Well, but you see, the thing is, we like it. They're all
over
like...
the fans' eyes so much.
Well, the other thing is, the fans, it's like Lucasfilm goes, hey, fans, we need 11,000 stormtroopers at this parade. At which point, the fan base goes, oh my god, yes! What do we get? Do we get any recognition? No, you don't even get airfare or even drinking water.
Deal.
However, you do get to be in the parade. Awesome! I'm totally there! and that's how it goes.
Pretty much.
And just as a just to say it, we weren't parodying any groups or anything.
No, we were not.
With that statement,
we do this as well. I wasn't singling out stormtroopers. I'm sure the same thing happens with Rebel Tantive IV troopers or something. Yeah. But Han Solo, I don't know. 10,000 Han Solos.
Awesome.
Too much pimp for you.
All the girls in the city just follow the parade.
I love you!
I know.
In other news, we have actually two people that have gotten the Aurora McCod Award this year.
And they weren't Frost.
Oh.
It hurt Frosty's feelings.
No, not really. I don't do anything useful.
Hey, Frost, is your helmet magical, by the way?
Which one?
The one you wear.
Which one? I have three costumes.
Frost.
Your Frost helmet.
Yes, two why? Costumes.
He doesn't get it.
No,
I'll tell him after the show. Okay. You know, so, Frosty the Snowman, you put the hat on and he comes
I
to
understand. No, but... no, it's actually a mystery helmet. It's from one of the original castings of the mysteries.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, no, those are the ones that somebody managed to get a hold of the... for one weekend, they got a hold of the Magic and Mystery Boba Fett helmet from ESB. Mm-hmm. And they then recast it without Lucasfilm's knowledge. And started making them. So that's why it was a mystery where it came from, because the Lucasfilm assassins went out and killed this guy. Not really, but I'm certain he didn't want to let them know that it was actually the Magic and Mystery helmet. But no. It is.
He dispatched six bounty hunters.
Yeah. I bet they chose Bossk.
They probably did choose Bosk. They found parts.
And he politely entered the home and took off his shoes. Before ever engaging in some sort of Trandoshan hand-to-hand combat.
And at the end of it, his tie was still straight. And all was good.
I was about to say, truth be told, if you played Galaxies, Trandoshans were good at hand-to-hand combat. You did not screw with the TK Trando.
It's true.
Well, the new Clone Wars, though, did pretty good. I don't know if you guys saw the Clone Wars with them. I thought they did a good job.
They brought back TK, too.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Well, oh, in Galaxies?
Yeah. It's they redid the Combat Entertainer most recently, and they brought back all the old TK abilities in some form and made them, like, they gave them a heal, and they actually, one of the loading screens is a is this
so they made Entertainer not worthless to play anymore?
Well, yeah. One of the loading screens is Arden Lin, who was the Terrace Kassi master from the video game, Masters of Terrace Kassi. Right. So,
did they fix her arm yet?
Too. Do what?
Her arm was supposedly an arm off a Juggernaut war droid, and they invented a little piece of canon and was like, there was a droid rebellion way back in the day from the Juggernaut war droids, and her arm is a Juggernaut war droid arm. And it looks all really 1990s. Because it was the 90s, and then now they've actually done the story for the Juggernaut war droid, and it basically looks like an SBD with, like, one of those little, you know, life rings that they've got for people who go overboard on ships on its head. No, seriously, that's what it looks like. Like, go look it up. It looks exactly like that.
And, oh, dear.
And, or maybe one of the little Simon Says things, you know, the little Simon games. One of those on its head. But.
Yes.
Anyway, the two Ora Mikado winners for March and for April. The first was Solus Kier for March.
Yay!
Yay!
He deserves it.
He does. He does a lot of hard work for us. For his clan out there. I think they're in Arizona, right?
Arizona.
I don't know. Yep. It's dusty.
The Dune Sea Mercs.
Yeah, that's true. They're like the DSG. They're both the Dune Sea Garrison for the 501st and the Mercs.
Mm-hmm.
They have one website for both, actually. That's why they don't post over here so much.
Cool.
And the latest for April is from Texas, Mr. Darkham Vol.
I don't really hear from him all so much, but I guess because I'm not in Texas.
Probably not. Yeah, that's true. No, he apparently does a lot of good work for them, and
I
he got nominated. So.
He's on
a great costume.
Approval team, right?
I think he used to be.
Oh, yeah, he used to be.
Oh,
yeah. He stepped down to focus on clan stuff, I think.
Gotcha.
Oh, he's the leader down there?
I'm not sure.
I thought Spanner was.
Spanner stepped down, actually.
Oh, did he? Well, then maybe he is now.
Who knows?
Whatever, it's in Texas. All I can hear from there is gunfire, so.
Very large gunfire.
In Yosemite, Sam.
Yeah, the Darkham Vol is actually the squad leader for his area. I think it's in Arquette, Texas.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's separate from Moran.
Okay. So is he? Did you say he was in Texarkana?
No, he's Arquette squad is what they're called.
Yes, he's the squad leader for Texas.
Okay, it's probably like East Texas West Texas or something,
or North Texas.
Well, South Texas.
Well, the thing is, driving across Texas is actually like a 6-hour endeavor. It's like driving from north to south in California.
California.
So,
is it weird that I was on Facebook the moment you said that, and ComingSoon.net posted Schwarzenegger will be back as Terminator, as you say, California. Like, I looked at the computer like, why did Facebook just talk?
That makes me so happy. You have no idea. I spent $10 to see The Expendables exclusively to see Arnold Schwarzenegger's very large face on the silver screen.
We should not have done that either, because we got out of that theater, and me and you and who else went? It was Emma and Riv?
Yeah, and some other people went too. I think Cord was there. Cord and Roki went.
And Seeker went with us, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I got stuck with Sean. There.
Like, what? That was an awful idea.
Well, Scott was there, too.
Yeah, Maria and I went and saw it while we were down in Orlando, too, so.
You saw it? You had a date?
No, it was...
he went on a date with Moose.
Another date.
Oh, you guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not as bad as what James and I ended up doing. In,
you pass me some popcorn, eh?
Don't you mean moose feed? What do meese even eat? Like small children? I mean, I don't know.
They eat maple leaves.
Maybe that's why they have such a comprehensive healthcare system in Canada, so they can have more babies so they can feed the meese.
Anyway. And moving on, we'll talk about a few convention tips for you, tell you what to bring, how to act, what's the best way to approach a con, because there's a lot of new people out there that are just getting into the con scene, and it can be a kind of intimidating process for the first-timer.
We do have
especially if you go to a big one.
Well, I guess I should start off with saying, if you're going to go to a big convention, people, get their phone numbers. That's a big key. It's like,
if you're going to a small convention...
Yeah, not small.
Their phone numbers anyway, because you're going to get horribly lost, and you're like, how hard will it be to spot the one Mando in a crowd of 3,000 people all wearing Nintendo costumes?
The officer of that that's in charge of that particular event, and we pretty much always have someone in charge of an event, you need to get their phone number. And actually, somehow or another, I... had my phone number out for C5. I don't know how, but I got a bunch of phone calls before the dinner and text messages for dinner when we couldn't find a couple of members. So,
well, you were griping to me about how you didn't want any phone calls, so I just called you a couple times.
I don't remember that, but because I don't mind having phone calls.
Yeah. I want people to call. I was only sitting like 5 feet away from you.
I think that's what was bugging me, but
another good thing to do is
aura of discomfort. You should always bring a repair kit to conventions. Any convention of any real duration. So if you're going someplace for like a 2-hour parade or something, your repair kit is probably not going to be all that necessary. You may need it when you put stuff on and after you've gotten it out of your bin while you're still at your cars and you're like, oh crap, my arm fell off.
Well, when we say repair kit, though, we mean scissors, Velcro, couple extra snaps, batteries,
duct tape
is a huge one,
and hot glue.
Try to keep it in like a little satchel, a purse even. You can do like a Ziploc bag.
It could be your Mando Merce.
Yeah. But, just something small that you can carry with you that, you know.
You also want a decent glue gun, but you also want to make sure it's not a small glue gun, because there's two gauges of glue gun.
Well, no, I wouldn't bring a glue gun
and
a
little bitty glue gun.
That. Just get like some E6000 or some super glue or something.
You can use super glue too. Yes, like James just said.
Just because you don't need to rely on there being an outlet, because there's never going to be it when you need one. Like if
my only concern with the other glues would be drying time, that you might want to be careful with that too.
Yeah. True. Mm-hmm.
For the record, if you do decide you want to bring super glue, don't take any two-part epoxy or anything like that. If you're doing in-the-field repairs, you don't want to fill in glue generally unless you're using hot glue, because hot glue dries pretty quickly. Super glue is going to be your best bet because it doesn't really fill that much, and it'll dry quickly, and it will hold pretty well. The only thing you need to be very certain of is that you're not wearing gloves, because you will get it on your fingers. And if you get it on your gloves, it will rip the crap out of your gloves, and your gloves will look really bad. And you'll feel really stupid, and you'll be out $20 because you'll have to buy more gloves.
Yeah. For big repairs, I mean, like, you know, if for some reason your helmet falls apart, just go back to your room, go back to your car, and work on it. But yeah, I mean, with your repair kits, you generally want to have two types of stuff. You want to have quick repair and overnight repair, especially if you're staying in a con that is multiple days. So you'll bring like the hot glue and stuff for your room to fix stuff really good for the next day. But if you're on the middle of the con floor, you have a small roll of tape or something, you can just kind of, you know, tape up your gauntlet or something if it falls apart, and it'll be okay for the con day, because most people aren't going to care.
Now, another thing you also do definitely need to bring, anybody who's got plastic armor of any kind, which is everyone, because nobody wears metal helmets except for three people, you should always bring either a silver Sharpie, or you can actually get silver paint pens, either or.
And silver Sharpie is great.
If you crack down to the white on your plastic or whatever, or you get whacked really hard, a big old chip gets put in something, rather than sitting there and getting all teary-eyed about it and trying to patch it over and get it all smooth and whatever, grab your silver paint pen and make it into impromptu battle damage.
Yeah, I keep a black Sharpie on my belt at all times in case I need anyone, you know, any sort of celebrity to sign something, or if I need to, like, draw a little black over the exposed white paint chip.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Another thing for being prepared is definitely you want to check your stuff the night before, not the morning of, as you're in a rush to get there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Make sure you actually have all your armor parts, because the last thing you want to do is show up without boots. So you're, easiest... you know, running around in sneakers looks horrible.
Frost
the easiest way to the easiest way to make sure that you have every part is to literally just get fully kitted up the day before. It also is a really great way for you to take pre-convention pictures, because something's going to get messed up when you're at the convention. So you can take your pre-convention pictures, you can put them up and be like, everybody, look at how awesome my suit of armor is before I went to this convention. And that way you also won't forget any pieces, so you can pack them the day before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do it every single time, or at least I have been since 2008, when I had to borrow a pair of boots from Noval Talon, because I had driven 3 hours to his house at like 8 o'clock at night, got there at 11, and realized I didn't have my boots.
Oh,
and we just happened to have the same size feet, so I was lucky. But
yeah.
that's one of those things where you soil yourself. And
I don't know if somebody mentioned
the whole world will be ruined.
Yeah, one thing that you can all cons are very unpredictable things. I mean, you don't know who's going to be there, what's going to be going on, how crowded it's going to be. But one thing you can always be certain of is something will break, go missing, or get scratched at a convention.
Yes.
Every time. I mean, you might even walk away from a heavy convention like Dragon Con or a celebration and have 3 or 4 things to fix by the time you come home.
Oh, yes.
So don't
at
get
the end
all
of the day. Everyone's always fixing stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, stuff's going to break. It happens to everybody. Don't worry about it. Just go with it.
So don't set your helmet down on the ground and stuff like that.
Or leave it in your car.
Don't. what else? So we have repair kit. We have stuff to bring. We have... always bring cash. Always have your...
Extra batteries.
My kit, I always keep my ID, my credit card, and a little cash on me and like in my pocket.
Make sure that it's easy to get at too, because I have working ammo pouches from the Ukraine.
yeah,
and
those are great.
Yeah, you can put cell phones and money and more money and
camera.
Camera.
It's more deep than just having all that stuff that you normally carry with you. It's if you pass out, we need to know who you are.
Yes.
I mean, that's basically. I mean, if you pass out in the bathroom and then some, you know. 20-year-old dude finds you, he's going to need to know who you are to get you help. If you have any prescription medication, anything that you're like, you know, allergic to, if you can get one of those necklaces that say, you know, I'm allergic to penicillin, that kind of stuff, keep that on you too, because if there's any kind of medical emergency and you can't be revived to ask you stuff, I mean,
it
delays your medical attention that you'll be getting.
You either have to do that or get it tattooed on your body. So
being the local allergic to everything guy, best bet to do, like, I'm allergic to wheat, and, you know, that's in pretty much everything, and it's deathly allergic.
His mother smoked asbestos bricks when she was pregnant.
best thing to do, though, is just, you know your clanmates, and just make sure at least one or two of them know where the medication is, an example, EpiPen, you know how to use it, know what to do, you know, to call the ambulance and, you know, get you to the hospital if you need it, or, you know, if it's not that severe, they at least know what to do with you and the medication that you need.
Sean, if you ever had an outbreak, I would proudly stab you in the heart with your EpiPen.
That would probably not be a good idea.
That's adrenaline.
In my case, it is actually adrenaline that I use. It's But you don't stab
Sweet.
People in the heart.
I will stab you in the heart.
It's one of those horse needles.
Real life.
And I'm going to tell you to say something, and you have to say something.
James, real life, Crank, the movie. Not the same. It doesn't work that way.
I know. I personally have fallen out of a helicopter, and I did fall several stories, and I'm still alive. And
By the way,
I did.
I love the fact that your hypothetical person that found someone in the bathroom had to have an age.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 20-year-old.
20 years old.
Some 20-year-old guy finds you. I'm like, or you know,
or a homeless bum.
I like having specific examples. I'm sorry, I'm so thorough.
Brown feathery hair and you know, blue eyes.
Getting back to you know, being organized.
You're
with
just
your
one of those orange puffy vests.
Yeah, and if you have an inhaler, bring it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Conventions are claustrophobic and smelly always. So, I mean, if you have asthma of any kind, people are going to be smoking where they shouldn't be. They're going to be wearing perfume, and you're only going to be 6 inches away from them at all times. So,
yeah, especially is the worst.
In addition, this sounds
perfume.
This sounds stupid, by the way, but buddy system is actually a really good idea.
You should
always try and hang with at least one person, and it doesn't have to, obviously, it doesn't have to be the same person every time, but yeah. You should always try and be with some people who you know and who know you.
That's right, and sometimes I would like to hang out with Vaden instead of Frost, like, you know, stealing the entire con.
Hey, I can't help it, man, you relate to the game. So,
yeah, now the thing with being organized with your clan is definitely, if you guys can arrange to meet up together in, like, the parking lot to kit up, then that way you're not scrambling to find each other in the sea of costumes. Mm. You know,
it's always better to meet up with each other before you're...
And away from the building.
Then you also get to make a big entrance. You know, you get, like, six, eight Mandalorians all going up in the one elevator. Elevator doors open up. Oh, sorry,
it's just the one guy's got the boombox wired up to play the Imperial March.
The worst thing is when you come out of the elevator and you get called Power Ranger. Look at all the Power Rangers! That's the worst.
At which point you bust out your gun, you play a tune on it, and summon the Godzilla Zord.
Yeah. No, definitely.
The Krait Zord, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's definitely,
something else to keep in mind is getting your tickets. No matter if you've ordered them online or if you're going to buy them there, you will be standing in a line, and it's better to do that in civilian clothes than to do it in your armor.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Because you're not only going to be overheating yourself and uncomfortable for the hour that you might have to spend waiting in line, you're going to be inconveniencing other people who are going to keep on bumping into your metal armor. So be courteous and just, you know, go in your, you know, Hawaiian shirt or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, I have
something to say about that.
It kind of depends more on the size of the...
Yeah, see? More hypothetical specifics.
Hawaiian shirt.
Your Hawaiian shirt.
It actually, it's not just Hawaiian. It's got little Ewoks on it, you know, dancing.
Yeah,
the pattern is alternating Ewoks and Yub-Nub.
Yeah.
In addition, you should also practice at least two poses when you go to a convention. One of my poses is infamous because I've been doing it for 7 years.
Isn't your hand kind of stuck in that position now?
No, but it does ache sometimes.
Sometimes.
Like it's about 3 pounds of hardware in total on the different fingers, and holding it like that for like 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
It's tiring.
Something we haven't mentioned.
Beastly fingers, yeah.
Most conventions will be selling drinks and stuff on premises.
Don't buy them.
Probably just bring your own. Yeah, I mean, bring a bottle of water, put it in a pouch, put it in your pocket, have a handler or somebody carry it for you.
Build a camelback into your jetpack like half of the people have done.
There's nothing worse than like that Sunday afternoon, I don't want to go get water from the room, so I'm going to pay $5 here in Dragon Con for one. Like that shameful, like, me handing my money to the Dragon Con guy.
And the Dragon Con guy making the troll face.
Yeah.
Yeah, they charge way too much there.
And they're not even, like, 1 liter bottles of water. I mean, we're talking about, it's like, 16 ounces, you know, just bigger than a, you know, Coke.
They give you a shot glass with some spit in it instead of, like, water.
Yeah. What is this ounce you speak of?
Well, the other
I don't
thing
know if any of you... I think Frost might have been there.
It's probably Frost laced James, with heroin or something.
Do you guys remember AdCon 09?
Yes.
Oh, the food court in the back?
They had construction going on. They had all of the water fountains in the building turned off. Yeah, quote-unquote, they supposedly, you know, had construction, so they had all the water fountains turned off, and we had to go pay $5 a bottle of water.
Oh, God, that was so...
It was stupid, because they worked in the morning, and then they stopped working once the convention started.
Yeah, well, the other thing was they're all like, we can't have the water fountains running! And it was retarded, because then you could go to the Starbucks in the hotel across from the convention center and be like, hey, I'd like to pay you exactly $1.10 to give me a bottle of water. And they're like, why, sure, we will give you this bottle of water. And it's legitimately sized.
Yeah.
We're not selling you one of the little aquapods that they you know, where it's like...
Aquapods?
Yeah, no, seriously, they're called aquapods, and they're like 4 ounces of water. And they charge like $3 for them at sporting events. They decided to make a smaller quantity of water specifically to screw people out of their money.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Well, now, at larger conventions like C5, when it's in a convention center that is, you know, at least a bus ride away from actual food,
yeah,
you just bring extra cash. You're going to have to pay the prices for the hot dogs or whatever. But
jerky.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in costume having fun, you really don't feel hungry all that much.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I'm a fat guy, and I'm telling you that. You don't feel hungry all that much when you're in armor.
The other thing is that your digestive system shuts down.
Yeah.
Because you start sweating too much when you're in costume. You will be sweaty. You will smell like sweat. You will get salt rings in your flight suit. Wash those things.
Yeah.
And that's
Make
just
sure
how
to
it's going
to
be. Man, woman, other. It's going to happen.
yeah, actually, what Noval and I did at AdCon was we would take our flight suit, spray them down with Febreze, and hang them over the air conditioners at night.
Yeah.
And it would air them out real nice.
It probably also accustomed you guys to the smell of nerd.
Yeah.
The funk of
that whole room was funky, yeah.
Yeah, you definitely want to make sure you stay hydrated, though, during the day.
Definitely. And try to eat at least one small meal just to keep yourself going.
Yes. Just grab a hot dog in the middle of the day. That's just what you should do.
If you're not allergic.
If you don't, you're going to... Before you go trooping.
Yeah.
Although, to be honest, I tell you what, I had to pee real bad before the Dragon Con parade, and I was like, screw it. I'm going to be dehydrated in about 10 minutes anyway. And I was.
It's true.
So, but you know what?
Oh,
I'm not one of those people
better.
That faints from being really hot because of the years and years and years that I've done cross country and being really hot all the time and uncomfortable. So don't do that. It's unhealthy. Yeah. I've only had like one person ever. Actually, Allegra got her white paint during the parade this year. Became kind of overwhelming at one point, and that was the only person that I've ever witnessed
sweat.
At a... Yeah, she couldn't sweat through all the paint. And I kind of realized that, too, when I was wearing all that face paint. I was like, what is that?
Yeah, I mean, if you're feeling bad at all, sit down. Find a place, sit down, even if it's on a wall on the floor. Just get yourself from, you know, standing and walking around and let yourself rest. Because your body will tell you when you've had enough, and you'll know.
There's no shame in being in a parade, by the way, and taking a water bottle with you and literally just bunging your helmet off and drinking from the water bottle in the middle of the parade. Because it's a whole lot better than face planting in your armor. Which is what happens when you fall out. You go, hey, it's the ground! And you're going to put a nice big dent in the front of your helmet.
Probably correct.
And
damage.
Possibly your face.
And possibly your face. It depends on how fragile your helmet is.
And how squished your nose is.
And how squished your nose is.
Are we missing?
I'm sure you can pass the damage off on your face as battle damage.
Yeah, there you go. Facial battle damage.
On your face.
Basically, going to the ER is much more embarrassing than drinking from a bottle of water and being like, hey, look, I'm actually a real-life person walking down a real-life street, herf, derf.
Well, I mean, you know, if they put you in an ambulance and they have to cut your Mando armor off of you, you're going to be really mad.
You're going to be pissed.
Definitely.
All I know is, by the way, yeah, if I ever pass out, if somebody help me get that off before they get there.
Yeah,
because if they start cutting up six between $600 and $800 worth of costume,
Well, what you do at that point is you literally you start falling out and you're like, carry me, don't let them get me.
You just see me running through the streets with McCoy in my arms, trying to keep him away from the paramedics.
And what shirt are you wearing in this hypothetical situation?
Ghostbusters. Amber Crombie, maybe? No, not South Pole. I'll go South Pole. I'll go with Gangster
Amber
on it.
Crombie?
Amber Crombie. It's a competitor
yes.
to Abercrombie.
That's how little I know about fashion.
Is that, I thought you were doing that on purpose. Like, no.
Amber
the knockoff.
It's a competitor fashion to Abercrombie. It turns out that Amber Crombie is actually the fashion made by zombie slave shops.
Okay.
Getting and in any parade that you are ever in, you will be hot and it will be tiring.
Yes.
I can attest to that. I've done the Dragon Con Parade in 90-degree weather in Georgia, as I know most of you guys have.
It's hell on earth.
It is. But also the parade up here in Bangor, Maine, as Muriel can tell you, is still tiring and hot. Because...
Actually, I haven't done that one yet.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
The Bangor Parade? No, I missed it both.
Shot down. Yes, the Raleigh Christmas Parade here was very hot and tiring, even though it was 32 degrees outside.
Yeah.
That's wonderfully warm out.
Canadians.
Shut up, Canadian.
You guys most we don't have the big coat of fur to keep us warm, Moose.
Yeah, but I mean, doing the parade up here in Maine, it was about the same temperature, low 30s, and then it was misting at the same time, too. So, I mean, even with those conditions, it was still really tiring and hot. I mean,
yes.
you're putting yourself through a lot. I mean, you're going up and down streets, you know, uphill, downhill. It's stopping and, you know, going. I mean, it can get very tiring. So,
another newbie convention tip is also you should seal all of your electronics with hot glue. Hot glue is a non-conductor. And if you have a loose wire or an exposed wire of any kind, really, you're likely to A, short-circuit your electronics, B, shock yourself.
Yep.
And C, be really pissed.
My, I know we haven't gotten to that topic yet, but we can transition with this. My old helmet mic had exposed wires on my cheek, and they, I got a little 9-volt jolt in there a couple of times in my ear.
So yeah, helmet electronics. That's a good topic. Let's go with that.
Well, speaking of the very warm weather, you definitely, you know, if you can put a fan in your helmet, that'll definitely keep you cool.
Okay, but you and, say put a fan in your helmet. Now, how do people go about doing that?
Well, it depends on what helmet you have and where you want to mount it. You know, if you have the key slots cut out at the back, you could put the helmet, you could put the fan in the back of the helmet and have it suck the air out, and then you'd get airflow coming in underneath and going out the back.
Unless you have a helmet seal, in which case,
then you're going to need. Well, if you have a helmet seal, then you just have to figure it out. So that way, you either have two fans going out the back, or you know, other vents somewhere on the helmet.
Mm-hmm. Godspeed. Now, I personally have never been a fan of fans. My head is quite large, as most of you can attest to, and it fits pretty tightly in my helmet. And I don't have a lot of room for fans. I've tried mounting them before, and you get hair caught in them sometimes if they're too close. So you definitely want to make sure that you're, you know, wearing a balaclava or head wrap or something like that.
So,
or you want to make sure that those fans are way back there so you're not going to get your hair caught in it.
You also need to make sure that if you do cheek fans, which some people do, because people will put fans in the cheeks of their helmets and then they will cut out holes in the helmets. One specific example of this is Soren Dydrick has a pattern cut into both cheeks of his helmets, and he put some wire mesh over it. And he put two outlet fans there, and he has an inlet fan at the back of his helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you decide to do that, you need to make sure that you don't have any gratuitous facial hair at that time, because we like to call Travis, is his real name, Teen Wolf, because he can shave at 9 a.m. and have a full beard by 5 p.m. And... you will get facial hair caught in that, and that is far worse than head hair.
Mm-hmm.
That will hurt so much more. So, and you need to be careful about that with anything, like including Velcro or whatever that you're going to hold your electronics in at the front of your helmet. So, be very careful of that when installing speakers and mics.
Yeah.
Yes,
I actually have found that most helmet fans don't really move that much air, and they're quite loud, and they take up a lot of space in your helmet. So, I don't personally use them. I've never used them, and I've been fine. You just have to make sure you have enough ventilation. I like making sure I have a little bit of ventilation around the visor area.
Yeah.
Well, and you just get the natural draft when you're walking around. I don't really see the need for fans in a Mando helmet.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually found that with mine, I've never used fans, but when I'm, like, walking in the parade, the air comes up under the helmet and cools everything great. And I've actually found that when I'm wearing the balaclava, I have to I know a lot of people complain about fogging and everything, too. I found that if I drop that down below my nose rather than over it, it helps clear up the fogging, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I know, you know, a lot of people complain about that. And like, well, we have fans to prevent condensation. I'm like, well, breathe, you know, try dropping your balaclava down below your nose if you have that problem and are wearing one.
Yeah,
you
we're not wearing Darth Vader helmets here. It's not a fully enclosed anything unless you choose to, which is fine.
Yeah.
You can also look up this goo, by the way, that they make for firefighters and scuba divers. That is just like $5 for a bottle that you will never use all of. And you could troop for 10 years and not use all of it. And you just rub it on the inside of your visor and it doesn't fog anymore.
Anti-fog,
just breathe out through your mouth.
And it live. Well, the thing is, it works forever because I put it on the inside of the visor of my Frost helmet 3 years ago. No, sorry, 4 years ago now. Yeah. And it still works.
Does it work with tinting? That would be my one concern, is because I use tinting in a lot of my helmets. So
I would imagine so. Yeah. I mean, if they're giving it to scuba divers, it's probably not caustic, because if you have anything caustic on your scuba mask, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eric, I'd be curious as to how well that holds up in cold weather.
I don't know how well it holds up in cold weather. It's not like a gel or anything. It's just something that you put on it and you wipe it down and then you go for it. So you should go ahead and try that.
So it's like Rain-X in a way.
Yeah, it's basically just like Rain-X. Yeah.
Well, I just know that here, more so, more often than not, we're having the issue of condensation just when we're out in the cold. Yeah, and then you get ice forming on your helmet as you're walking around outside.
Nice.
Okay, I don't think that would work so well.
Yeah.
But another just basic trick, breathe out of your nose. It sounds so simple, but you'll find when you're walking around, especially in parades, you're going to be wanting to breathe out of your mouth just because it's faster.
Yes.
But force yourself to breathe through your nose. Not only if you're in cold weather, it'll keep your nose warm and your lungs won't hurt as much, but it also directs all the air directly out of the helmet downwards instead of forwards into your visor.
Also,
that's a good way to prevent fogging.
Another thing that you may want to do is breathe in your mouth and out your nose, because breathing in your mouth takes in more volume. Breathing out your nose doesn't, because it's all pressurized in your lungs, so you don't have a volume problem. Because if you breathe in through your nose, you can hypoventilate sometimes, and that will cause you to black out.
I feel like you're listening to Fox News. Be careful if you're breathing in to get to you.
Yes, but if you are breathing heavily and you want to breathe out of your mouth, breathe in and out of your mouth, you're better breathing in through your mouth than out your nose. It's just a typical, very basic exercise thing that they teach you. But if you've ever done any exercise, I mean, you do that when you run probably, James. But and so just make sure you do that, because otherwise you could end up getting lightheaded and blacking out, and I don't want to be the one who has to carry you.
Yeah. So as far as lights and everything, what do you guys suggest?
Beep boop.
Oh, God.
Well,
don't ask me. People mount too much crap on their helmets.
You definitely don't want to go excessive.
This is sitting on your head, remember. So it's got to be lightweight if you're going to use it. Lights in the little the antenna, the rangefinder, looks pretty cool. Some people do servos in that.
For the record, servo rangefinders require either a special kind of helmet or a lot of modifications to the helmets.
Yeah.
Because servo rangefinders have a stub, essentially, on the bottom. They have an axle that the servo inside of the helmet has to turn, whereas most helmets are designed for the rangefinders that everybody's probably seen, which is a captured rangefinder. It's where the rangefinder sort of has a donut on the end of the stalk.
Yeah.
And those, you can't use those. You have to buy a special rangefinder and modify your helmet for that. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, make sure that you tighten the ear cap down really tight, because if it isn't tight enough, it will work free with the servo action.
And you don't want it falling off.
And what'll end up happening is it'll rip the servo straight out of your helmet if the ear cap isn't tight enough. And that is, first of all, a dead servo, so that sucks. And your rangefinder's going to drop off into God knows where, and you will be a very unhappy camper.
Yeah.
To keep in mind with all this stuff, each component that you add to your helmet takes up retail space on the inside. Most of us don't have that much space. It's very precious. I mean, most of these helmets you might have, you know, less than half an inch around your entire head. That's enough to fit a 9-volt battery and some wires, but servos can get pretty big.
Yep.
And they will stick pretty far into your helmet. So you need to make sure you get the right stuff. And, I mean, heck, take your helmet with you, buy the servo, take it out to the car and see how it fits in there. And if it doesn't fit right, take it back. I mean,
sorry, it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
At which point they'll look at you kind of funny.
I mean, it's so precious to space, especially if you have a larger head like I do. You really can't. I can't stress enough. I mean, if you're going to have multiple lights, multiple fans, try to rig them all up on one system to run off one battery pack. Because you get 10 9-volt batteries in there, you get a lot of voltage and a lot more space that is taken up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although you don't want to run too many things off one battery, because otherwise the battery will drain really quickly. So.
Yes.
Kind of
though,
a
granted, game. Carrying spare batteries is a lot easier than fabricating a nether dimension inside your helmet to stuff them all in.
That's true, too, yeah. So, on the topic of
hammer space.
On the topic of having lights in your helmet, though, I see some guys try to replicate the Republic Commandos, you know, light up on the top of the visor.
Don't.
If you're gonna be doing it when you're walking around, if you're walking around during the evening, or if it's just darker in the room, it's gonna become fairly difficult to see out of it, because although it's on the outside of that tint. You know, you're still going to get some of the light.
Also, don't put it on the inside, otherwise we can all just see your face and you look stupid.
Yeah, so when you have it on the outside, though, you're still going to get some of the light coming back in, and it's just going to make the contrast that much more difficult to see. I was trooping at Video Games Live, and just being inside the movie theater, which is where it was being held, you know, it was still fairly bright inside, but given the fact that you have the tint, given the fact that you have the light in your eyes, you know, it becomes fairly difficult to see, so that's another thing you want to keep in mind. Another helmet-type gadget seems to kind of be fairly popular in I want to do that, but a lot of people don't really know how to, is doing a helmet cam.
No.
Tom used
to have one.
No, I know that Tom used to have one. I put that helmet on first of all.
No, I mean, and that's why he took it out, because it was just...
Yeah, yeah, just no, it's... Helmet cameras, okay, there are two kinds, which is the recording kind. Those are cool. And then, which is like the kind that they have for motorcyclists and stuff.
I actually have one of those.
You have one of those?
Yeah, I just picked it up. My Revella Commando friend Scott has been using a helmet cam for quite a while now. He also does motorcycling, so he's got it for his bike, too. Yeah. It works really well. On the Revella Commando, though, he actually just has it mounted on the side of the helmet, so it's quite visibly not part of the helmet. Although most of the con goers who don't know Star Wars super well don't really, you know, they're just like, oh man, that's cool. Can you see from that? You know, and he's not actually looking through the camera on the screen on the inside, but you know, they're just, you know, they
don't ever do that
camera. Yeah, no, that's a nightmare of doing the electronics.
That's something that Noval tried to do. He tried to put night vision and infrared and all this stuff in his helmet, and it worked. And he had these like $100 glasses things that he had put into it.
It's not worth it.
Created like a 128-inch monitor or something with focal length. And the point is, it's not fisheye. You don't have any peripheral vision when you're doing that, and you can't have any peripheral vision because the computer can't project a three-dimensional image using two-dimensional data.
Yeah, it's going
to
be.
You have to have binocular cameras to do that, and you're not gonna.
Yeah, it's going to be expensive. It's going to be tricky to do. It's just a nightmare.
And you're going
to
shock
the
Jesus out of yourself doing it.
Yeah,
Tom talked constantly. Tom is Noval Talon, by the way. I use the name interchangeably sometimes. But he shocked the bejesus out of himself multiple times with that helmet because it just had 120 volts running through it.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best thing, though, if you're doing a helmet cam, right now I'm working on how to kind of integrate it into the helmet design because I'm going to be doing some mods to the helmet itself. Because I don't really want it to be, you know, visibly stuck on the side of my helmet.
Like, permissions denied.
Why? Okay, anyways.
I don't know what just happened.
way to just shut down the entire thing there, Eric.
You sunk my battleship.
Okay, we'll go ahead and wrap it up pretty quick.
We'll edit that out.
Yeah, you can just edit out the train wreck there.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean that's electronics in a nutshell. If you have any more questions, you can always post them on the boards in the planning area, and see what people think, see how they did it. You can also look for the tutorials on our wiki, which Mr. Thaxos is actually in charge of now.
Yep.
What do?
When's the last time that thing was updated?
A couple days ago.
Liar.
No, seriously.
He added some stuff. I keep an eye on him just to make sure he's actually doing it.
He poured maple syrup on it and called it a day.
Here you go, eh?
This will make the whole thing taste better, eh?
Yeah. But in case you haven't noticed, so we do have a wiki. You can put your character up on there. You can write out your backstory. Yeah. And we also have several tutorials that we've been working on getting up there. You can actually submit tutorials if you have a good one with pictures, please. They always help. In the costume archives section, it's towards the bottom of the boards. You can see it's Merc's wiki tutorial submissions board or something like that.
That's the Mandalorian costume archives under your Beskar Gam custom Mandalorian armor forum section.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now for for the Wikipedia page, it's only official members that can have a character page.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just going to want to send a PM to either myself or Biohazard, and then we'll create an account for you. Or do you want it just me? Or
If they want to send one to me, they can.
Okay. Yeah. Couldn't remember if you were still doing it or not. Yeah. Right.
I'm not in charge of this. Go talk to this lazy Canadian moose.
But we're trying to really get people to start using that because it is something we put a lot of time and effort into trying to get it to work.
Yep.
And if you already have an account and a page on there but you haven't been in a while, you probably have lost all of your images that were on your pages. We had to actually go in and rewrite some of the code, and as a result, we had to drop all of the images we had at that time. So go back and re-upload your profile image and your, you know, whatever images you had on your page. There should be just a red link, you know, file name.jpg. Just click on that and just click upload a new version, and we'll get you going again strong. Mm-hmm. So we apologize for that, but thumbnails are working now, which is something I know Lucas wanted desperately to have.
Yeah, there's a section on the wiki on how to post your images up, so it's pretty straightforward.
There's like 4 people that actually use their wikis, and I'm one of them.
Yeah. So.
I go to my wiki probably once every 6 months and add a whole bunch of new stuff over like 2 days and then totally ignore it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lucas's wiki actually shows like second on Google for like Mandalorian or something like that.
Well, that was intentional because I named one of the photos Mandalorian as a test to see what Google would do with it.
Genius.
I'm testing. Look, the thing is cross-planning or cross-linking too. You can cross-link to Wikipedia. So on first reference, if you say the word Death Star, if you don't have it linked to the Death Star, like, it's all about becoming and looking more legitimate than it actually is. Like, this is a fanon wiki, but if you link over to the actual Wikipedia articles, then, you know, it's just furthering your own role play and cosplay and, like, adding that more Star Warsy element to your character, which, you know, we all really want. Most people really want. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Get in there.
Also, I don't see this picture you're talking
pictures.
About.
What picture?
I looked up Mandalorian. Hey, I found a picture of Ian's armor.
Cool.
And I found a picture of one of our people in Malaysia.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like the 15th result or something.
Supposedly, I'm fairly high up on the search results, too, from what some guys told me. Just like some Russian guy that added me on Facebook out of the blue.
Actually, it's not Ian's armor. It's just somebody who stole your idea, I guess.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I inspired it. Anyway, and also as a last note before we actually have to go, we do have some new t-shirts that are available for sale in our store. They cost some money.
$17.
$17.
Wait, we exchange little pieces of paper for goods and services?
Yeah. The shirts are on sale for $17 in the store. We have them in stock. We only have about 100 to 150 of them, I think, for sale. Many of them have already sold, so go out there and, you know, buy one, because they are really awesome. They're designed by our quartermaster, Arden Fisk. And, yeah, we'll get them out to you as quick as we can.
Yeah, and actually, I really like these shirts, I'm just going to say. But a lot better than the last one. No offense to the did last one. But they came out really nice, and they fit so much better than the last one.
I need to see the new pattern.
Well, you
if
can
you
see it.
If you
like
to the forums, you could see it.
I do go to the forums.
You can go to the store and look for Merc's 2011 t-shirt. It's right there on the front page of the store, and you can look at it. So. But that's all the time we have for today. We will see you next month.
Well,
and until then, we'll talk to you later, I guess.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Merc's Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.
Unreal 3, Unreal 3, Unreal 3.